What's going on, my Daily Grinders? Today, we have a very special guest on the show. It's episode one. Our guest today is going to be Nathan James. He's a professional photographer and artist, and also one of my very good friends as well. Nathan has been recognized for working with companies like Puma. He's been featured in Vogue magazine. He's also worked with companies such as K-Swiss in shooting various weddings and fashion photography as well. So, want to welcome him on the show. This is episode one of the Daily Grind, and I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Nate!
Hey. What's up, G?
What's going on, man? You're on the Daily Grind.
Am I on the Daily Grind with the one and only?
Yes, you are.
Shoot. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, you are. You're allowed to curse on here.
Fuck yeah!
So, we have been friends for a while, and I really appreciate you being on the first episode ever of the Daily Grind. Kind of tell everyone a little bit about your story and kind of who you are.
Yeah, so basically I am an entrepreneur who's an artist, and I've dabbled in a few things involving the entertainment industry, from artist management on the music end of things to photography, videography, different marketing stuff, and the main thing I'm known for and that I do now is photography. And I do that at a very high level. I shot for Vogue, Puma, Justin Bieber, Post Malone, big brands, small brands, you name it. So definitely one of the best in the world, and just continuing to always trying to learn and get better, and always taking each day as if I'm just starting for the first time again. That's how you really, you know, get to reach successes. Sure. Once you've gotten to a level where you're like, cool, I'm rocking and rolling, the best way you can stay on top and continue to grow is just act like you're not on top, and each day you're fighting to get that first place spot.
Okay. And you got an art show coming up here soon, right?
Yeah, actually October 25th, 8 p.m. to midnight in LA. I'm doing an art gallery. So it's going to be pretty cool. Actually, I just posted the Eventbrite link for people to RSVP, and I had 146 people RSVP in the past 3 hours. So that's pretty cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so and what it's going to really, be a big event. Yeah. Got a big space.
Definitely. And what kind of got you into photography, though? I've known personally, but, you know, kind of share with how you kind of got started. Yeah. As far as picking up the camera and kind of putting everything into motion.
It was super accidental. You know, I played college basketball, and that was my whole life, athletics. And, playing basketball was my go-to. And so I got a full ride scholarship to actually go play college basketball in Wyoming. And I get up there my freshman year, and I blow out my knee, and I have a surgery on it. I can't play the entire season. So I heal up, work out, and, you know, rehab that whole summer and come back for the second season, my sophomore year. And the third game of the season, I blow out the same knee again. And boom, that was it. Doc was like, you know, you can't play again. If you do, it's just going to be a matter of, you know, time.
Yeah, when it's going to happen again.
Blow that knee out. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I blow that knee out again. And if I do, I was going to need a knee replacement. So my mom sent me a camera in the mail, this little cheap Olympus camera. And, you know, I had nothing to do being in Casper, Wyoming. And so she had just sent me this camera. And I started to hand paint shoes. Like, actually do physical, like, designs and painting on shoes. And I would take pictures of them with this camera my mom sent me. That's how I kind of started taking pictures with that. And, you know, then I'm taking pictures too in like this little alleyway. I, you know, put the camera on a self timer and, you know, jump in front of it and then, you know, try to strike a pose and shit. And that's kind of how I learned photography. And then just from there, it became a full time thing.
Now, was there any, I guess, major roadblocks that kind of Have you ever just thought about putting down the camera and giving up and just kind of, you know, saying, hey, this isn't for me? I mean, just any time throughout your whole entire career?
Hell yeah, man. It happens a lot. I think with any artist, we always, you know, will question ourselves and be our toughest critic. Mm-hmm. And there's been several times where I'm like, fuck, you know, is this what I want to do? Is this really what makes me happy? And that's a tricky thing. You know, there's sometimes no right or wrong answer to those questions when you're feeling doubtful.
Of course.
The only thing you can rely on, though, is just, you know, trusting your gut.
Yep.
And knowing, like, okay, number one, does this make me happy, and do I like the lifestyle that this provides?
Of course. And I think that kind of comes into play.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If it makes you happy and you like the lifestyle that it provides, then you need to, you know, struggle and go through those hard times that come with it, you know, because that's part of any career, no matter what you pick. So if you're going to struggle with something, you might as well struggle with your own business and something that you love rather than working for someone else and doing something that you hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really big thing, especially with like your mindset. You know, if you have a negative mindset for something that you're doing, you kind of want to take a step back and reevaluate what you're doing and see if you kind of like it, see if it's what you want to do every day. And I know something that you mention all the time is live tired. Can you kind of...
Yeah, that's my thing for
you. Yeah, can you kind of elaborate more on that, what live tired means to you?
Yeah, so there's a couple, like, you know, I guess you could say sayings or slogans that I kind of live my daily life by. And some of them I've made up on my own, and others are just taught to me from other people and stuff like that. But the ones I've made on my own are live tired. And that one just basically means be living so much life to where you're a little tired each day, because you're really out there just living life to the fullest.
Sure.
And I think as human beings, oftentimes, you know, it's so easy to just take the easy route and relax and do nothing and just, you know, be lazy. But when you live tired and you just say, man, I'm gonna just fucking get out there, I'm gonna explore, I'm gonna try new things, I'm gonna meet new people, you know, and I'm just gonna be a little tired each day from just living so much life, you know, so that's what live tired means.
It's awesome. It's really something that's interesting, because, you know, I looked at your Instagram story and you didn't go to bed until like 6 o'clock this morning. And like,
partially because you know I'm fucking crazy.
Yep,
you
know, exactly. Like, and I kind of know that mindset that you've always been on, and it kind of motivates me as well to really just keep working hard. And no matter what you're doing, you know, you've always said to be creative, and I think
yeah. You know, there's a few things, right? Like I always say, you know, you got to have what's called a King Kong state of mind, which means you got to know that you're the beast of the jungle. And, you know, because everyone is, you know, not going to be rooting for you or want it as bad as you want it. You know, you're the only person that's ever going to want it as bad as you want it.
Yep.
So you got to, you know, be your biggest hype man and just have that mindset of like, fuck it, I can do it. I was built for this shit, you know?
Exactly.
And just having that mindset, that King Kong state of mind, when people start to practice and adapt that, they'll really start to see these obstacles that they thought were obstacles are no longer obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I always say, too, in any situations, you know, where you're feeling down or sad or happy or whatever type of emotion you're feeling, just make good art. And when I say art, it doesn't necessarily have to mean actual physical art, but it could just mean, you know, go do something and create something. You know, if you got a business, create something for your business. Start to build something for your business. Start to do something for someone else. Start to do something for yourself. Like, just go create something, you know? And if you really just focus on not always making the next dollar, the next buck, and you just focus on making something that's great and something that you're passionate about and really care for, all the money and everything and success will just come and follow. But if you're chasing the bill first and the creativity and the art last, then it's not going to work out.
Exactly. And I think that's important too, is to show up with that King Kong mentality, because at the end of the day, you can have a plan, but if you're not showing up and not executing, you know, a lot is not going to get done. And especially when you do show up with that King Kong mentality, you kind of have a different side of you that really kind of shows itself and kind of shocks yourself at some points. You're like, whoa, I can do that?
Yeah, there'll be times you're like, for sure, there'll be times I haven't had all the time. I'm like, how the fuck did I ever do this?
Yeah.
You know, like, who did I ever fucking scam to make this happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, you almost don't believe that, you know, you did what you said you were going to do and even better. You know, you under-promise, over-deliver.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really just execution at the end of the day. I mean, you know, and not really kind of overthinking it in a way of just not producing anything at all. Because I think a lot of the times people will kind of tend to get in a mindset of, well, I want to do all these things, but then not even take the first step of even planning it out to where it seems nearly impossible. And so,
yeah,
that's something that you've always taught me as well, is, you know, showing up with that King Kong state of mind and really just putting it all out there.
Yep.
But
that's how you gotta do it. You lay all the chips on the table. Another thing I'm always telling people is, you know, be terrified of regret. You know, and be terrified of regret. You have to just say to yourself, the last thing you want is when you're on your last couple breaths of air, whenever that may be.
Yep.
The last thing you wanna say is, shit, I wish I would have tried this. I didn't try it because I was worried what other people would think, or I was worried that I wouldn't be able to do it, or I was too lazy. Like, that's the worst thing. That's the last feeling you want to have.
Exactly.
You know, as long as you have a beating heart in your chest, it is never too late. You are never too old. You're never not smart enough, good enough. As long as you have a beating heart in your chest, you have the full capability and ability to achieve whatever kind of goals or ambitions you want to do.
And how old were you when you first got into this? So, like, just basically when you first started getting this kind of creative mindset of wanting to kind of set out and just put your thoughts and artwork out there.
Yeah, you know, I'll definitely say a lot of what helps is the fact that my mom is an art teacher, so she was someone who always pushed just being creative.
Okay.
On me. And, you know, my creativity started just when I was a little kid, you know, building tree forts, fucking, you know, playing with other friends, fucking around, doing dumb shit. And that's where the basis of it started. And then where the business side of things started was, I don't remember what grade I was in, but I know I was in elementary school. And, I got this idea. So after school, there was this after school program that was called, SAC or something. And what it was is, after school was over, kids would, you know, go to this after school program for parents who weren't able to pick up their kids from school because they worked late or whatever.
Sure.
And so you'd go there and, you know, parents would pick you up at like 9 o'clock at night. So during that, there was a bunch of kids there and their staff that worked there, and they had, you know, it's like a fun thing, you know, they had food for you and they, you know, had you play outside and stuff. But one of the days, we were putting together Epsom salt and food dye. And if you mix Epsom salt and food dye, it's something that you could put into an actual bath, right? So, like, you put the food dye and the Epsom salt, it dyes it a color. And, you know, you go put it in the bath. Now, your bath is blue, pink, purple, orange, green, whatever it may be. And when we're doing this, I was like, man, I could sell this. You know, I don't know what register about this. I can make some money doing this on my own. So I went to the store with a little bit of cash I had. I made $5 to my name or something. And I bought some Epsom salt and food dye and some Ziploc baggies. And I went home. And my mom looked at me, and she was happy that I was doing something, but she didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah, she was wondering what was going on.
Yeah, what is this guy making drugs or what?
Yep.
So So I told her what I was doing, and she's like, well, do you have a name for what you're going to call it? I said, no. And she's like, well, you got to think of a name. So I thought of a name. I said, I'm going to call it Wacky Waters. And I just got pieces of paper and would write out Wacky Waters over and over. And I would staple that Wacky Waters logo on the Ziploc bag.
Yeah, on the ingredients
itself.
I'd
have all these different baggies of Epsom salt dyed in different colors. You know, I had green ones, blue and purple ones. So then I'd do that. I'd ride my bike to these different neighborhoods. You know, and I preferably would go to the neighborhoods that I knew, you know, had some more money and stuff. And I'd ride around, and I could tell which houses had kids or children by, you know, what kind of toys, or if they had like a, you know, playground on the front of their yard or something like that, bikes and stuff. And those were the houses that were my target. I knew they had kids. So I'd go up there and I'd give my little speech of, hey, I'm selling these Wacky Waters. You know, awesome, bath solution that, you know, it's good for your skin and it's going to help to actually motivate your kids to take a bath. You know, that's the biggest problem as parents is, you know, kids never want to shower. And, you know, the whole point of this was, well, they'll want to go in this colored water.
Yeah, let's get them excited.
So some of the people's houses I'd go to would look, I could tell, like, they loved it. You know, others were kind of on the fence, you know, weren't really sure. But
sure.
It was all an energy vibe. It didn't have a set price. My price was how much did someone love it was how much I'm going to sell it for. So I didn't limit myself on the pricing of, hey, I'm just selling it for this amount.
Yeah.
You know, I would try to sell it for as much as I could based on how into it someone was.
You just read them.
Yeah, everyone has a different price point. You know, someone may only pay $1 for something. Someone may pay $1,000, you know, so I would read them, and the people that I knew, I felt had them locked in. I told them, hey, it's $20, you know? And then the people who were kind of, you know, on the fence, I'd tell them it was like 10 or 15. And so, being in elementary school, my cost was really low, and my, you know, my ROI was very high.
Yeah.
And so I stacked it up when I was just in elementary school, man. I remember I had all this cash. I'd keep it on my bed, you know, and probably had, like, I kept doing it, maybe like $1,000, $2,000 or something.
Just stuffing your mattress with cash.
Yeah, just in a little shoebox that kept under my bed.
Yep.
And I think I was in third grade. So, yeah, I was in third grade. You know, pockets of fat, man. I was a bomb in third grade.
If you could go back to if you could go back to when you first started that, what would you tell yourself? Like, would you give yourself, like, what would be the number one piece of advice that you know now today to the kid that's just starting out, filling up those bags with ingredients and going out and selling them?
You're saying, like, what advice would I give them?
Yeah. Because it seems like you had a well planned out, like you were already pricing it when you got in front of the customer. But was there like a certain piece of advice that you learned today that you could tell yourself back when you first started filling up those bags?
Yeah, it would have been to do more of them and not stop. I don't know why I ever stopped. You know?
Yeah.
That's my advice would be, when something works, don't stop. Just keep investing into making it better. Okay. Everyone always has an idea, right?
Yeah.
They start to get some good traction, but then they pivot and they change directions of, oh, well, now I want to start this. You know, it's important. You stick with one thing and you build that one thing. Once it starts to make you money, you keep building it, building it, building it, building it. You know, until it's really rocking and rolling. That's when it's time to...
Just scale, scale, scale.
Investing in other things. Yeah.
Awesome, man. But do you have any big things coming up here soon? As far as any big plans outside of business, with business? You got anything coming up besides from the art gallery?
Man. So, you know, I'm, like I was just saying, I'm always looking to expand. So, and I'm always thinking of different ways to implement my creativity with what I'm already doing. So I call this the recycling system. okay? If you have a business and you're growing that business,
right,
and you want to start another business, I suggest you don't start another business that has zero relation with the business you've already built.
Okay.
You know, so here's an example of that. I'm a photographer. I'm not going to start a tire business. You know, it's so totally polar opposite things.
Yeah.
I'm a photographer. I'm going to keep in that creative visual entertainment space so that when I'm doing something photography related, it's also something that can help the other business that I create.
It goes hand in hand.
The other business I created. And then there's just this little seeding circle where each thing feeds off of each other, you know? And that's something that I'm working on. I'm starting to implement music into my actual photography pieces that I'm doing in this gallery. So I'm going to make a song for each piece in the gallery that kind of gives the actual audio, verbal explanation of what this photo is about and not just a visual representation of someone just physically seeing. So I'm going to have multiple components where you have the physical version you can see, and then you're going to have the actual verbal version you can hear and listen to in a music form. And I'm going to do a music video to it, everything that, you know, all based around each piece.
Okay. And what was that based off of as far as, like, the whole gallery itself?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the gallery is called Nightmares. And I'm someone who's had a lot of, you know, nightmares, metaphorically to say. And nightmares are what I refer to as insecurities. Insecurities, worries, fears, stuff like that. So each picture reflects a different insecurity that we've had in our life or that we're currently going through or what we will go through again in the future. You know, because every time you overcome something, you know, sometimes it can come back around and new things always happen. And so, you know, that's what the Nightmares gallery is all about.
Wow. What's going on, my Daily Grinders? I really appreciate you guys for tuning in for episode 1, season 1 of the Daily Grind. It means a lot to me that you guys even took some time out of your day to even check episode 1 out. So thank you guys so much. There's going to be more guests on the show and episode 2 on the way.